Thank you very much. This is our discussion session for October the 7th, 1 p.m. in the TEC. This is audio recorded. And Miss, at this point, Ms. Jimenez is not with us at this point, and Ms. Disney Brownback will be with us at starting at 4 o'clock for our executive session and our school board meeting. So, let's see. I am placed on the agenda by board members. Mrs. Disney is not here, and Mrs. Jimenez is not here. So, we'll go to Ms. Simchik.
Sure. We all received a letter regarding invocations and such about having various pastors and rabbis and such, which we have historically had. Clearly, the which I discussed with the attorney, maybe you can clear us, but more precise form of showing fairness around is to make sure that we're working from a rotation list, if I would, am I wording that right? And that, so, although we're having a new board be sworn in, and it might be better to discuss it at the organizational meeting, to cover that, since it's such a short time away, I think we'll be all right till then. But I had discussed with, and maybe I can ask the attorney to step in because I'm falling all over my tongue, but we all received the letter regarding
the freedom from religion.
Freedom from religion, and that there is no lawsuits in Florida. There has been no successful lawsuits in Florida for having pastors and or rabbis. But, you know, just to make sure that we button up that procedures are clean and precise and being our fairness in a rotation, that we should develop a rotation list. And that's the discussion that I had with the attorney that I wanted to share with everybody. So, again, because we're having a board change November 18th, it may not, you know, maybe move because they'll have different ideas. But I think that I put it on the agenda just to make sure as a group we discussed it because I had the discussion along with the attorney. So that's something that I would probably like to make sure that we're clear on once we have our new board so that we're not in any way susceptible to any lawsuits, correct? Am I?
That is absolutely an option for the board, is to more clearly define your procedures for selecting your volunteer invocation speakers. There have been a couple of court cases here in Florida, not involving a school board, but involving a municipal government, where a process has been put in place for that municipal government to select invocation speakers. And those processes were upheld. So if the school board is interested in documenting your invocation selection process, we can certainly pull some of those examples for, you know, you all to review and look at and decide how you'd like to do it here. I think it's also important, if you're going to do that sort of thing, to go ahead and document what you're doing currently. I mean, you currently have some process. It probably isn't written down. Like a lot of places, you have the process, but you don't have it written down somewhere. I would suggest that you write it down, whatever the current process is, so that you have something to kind of compare with what you're doing now, what you might like to do in the future, what the desires of the school board are as far as a process. But absolutely, I did send information to all the board members about what others have done and some options that you might want to consider. You know, if you want to change your board agenda components completely, that's, you know, certainly within your purview as well.
So that was what prompted that letter, my discussion with the attorney, but in lieu of discussing it now, I think it would be, since there are inspirational moments assigned to each and every one of us through till November 18th, then I think it's more appropriate to discuss it with the compliments of the new board members. So that's really all I wanted.
And that was my intent. That's the reason it is. You do have someone scheduled for the 18th to do an inspirational moment. That's Ms. Jimenez. And I made certain that I did that so that it was already taken care of, and then you can discuss with the board what you want to do moving forward. So I didn't think it was appropriate for this board, since it, there will be a transition, to put something into a format. So that's the reason why.
Yes, Ms. Johnson, as outgoing chair, can you share with us what the current process is?
The current process is Ms. Stang has a list, and she goes back to that list, and she just usually goes to the next person on the list. We always make certain that the rabbi is included at least once a year, sometimes twice. And I don't think I have ever had any board member in this eight years, or, and I can't think of even in the four before that, where any board member has asked for a specific a person to be there. The only exception to that is when there has been a new board member. If I remember correctly, when Mr. Pegler joined the board, I believe that the rabbi was there. I don't know if that was in deference to Mr. Pegler or if it just happened to have worked out that way. And my memory could be wrong, but I think we did have the rabbi there then. And I do think that... Ms. Stang can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do think, Ms. Stang, that in 2010 that you did contact my pastor, because he was next on the, or he was like two down, Mr. Lee, Pastor Lieber, that you did contact him because I was coming on back on the board. So, but I don't think any board member has ever requested any particular religion or any or the elimination of anything. We've made an outreach. I know Ms. Stang has done that several times. They don't always show up, but I mean, we've had numerous times where we haven't had, where the commitment is made to Ms. Stang verbally on the phone. She does a follow-up. Jump in here if I'm saying wrong, but she does a follow-up contact just to make certain that they remember, and we still have had times, but we always make certain that the African-American community is approached, and we have had people who, you know, have stepped forward who have made requests, and we have honored those requests when they have made those requests. So...
And I wasn't even, when I looked at the letter, I was really more, my question to the attorney was, how would our legal standing be, and what do we need to clean it up? So even though we have a historical, is what you're saying, we have a historical procedure, and if the new board went with the same historical procedure, your advice to me was document it, memorialize it, and put it in writing. So I'm not looking for any, I want to clarify, I'm not looking for any changes, but I'm just looking for us to button up what we have, so if we're challenged, we have it instead of, well, this is how we do it, just buttoned up and memorialized. So,
and that's not actually in Ms. Stang's job description anywhere, but that would probably be the easiest place to put it, I would think, is that that's one of the things that she does, and I do know that thinking rules, back to those thinking rules again, we have quite a few of those left, that she has always gone on a rotation as to people who participated before. And if there is someone new in town, we usually, she knows about, she includes that new pastor or whoever it happens to be. So
then I have this would be like a procedural for, if you know, I don't want to say that we're tabling it, but obviously we're, you know, open discussing some of the things we can clean up. But if you have two new board members who didn't receive that letter from the Freedom
from Religion,
Foundation group, they won't get what we're trying to do. So I don't know if that letter could be forwarded to them after or at
Absolutely.
Some point
what?
So that we can make sure that they know the topic of conversation and the purpose for it. As I said, I wasn't looking to change the procedure. I was only looking to clean it up and memorialize it so that we are free from any scrutiny of it by not having it in a little procedure. That's probably what was, I don't know if we should wait till the 18th and put it as an agenda item or put it on the December discussion meeting. Any thoughts?
I won't be here.
Yeah, and I think another way to look at this when we have the new board in place is, you know, we could just have a moment of silence at the beginning of our board meetings for people to reflect and pray. pray as they see fit, and that way we don't have to worry about Ms. Dang having to call someone not showing up. Just a moment of silence, and everybody from whatever faith or not can observe a moment of silence, and that will just solve a lot of problems.
But that, again, that will be at the direction of the board corporate, and I, so if Mr. McCain, did you have any comments you wanted to make? Well, my thought is that
I'm
sorry?
So I'm fine with it the way it is. Let's move on.
Well, I really think that you need to bring this back up, Ms. Simchek. You put it
yes,
on the agenda.
And I will.
And I would do it for December.
And I said, and it wasn't even so much, it is the subject matter, but whenever I see something of a challenging nature on a legal matter, I want to make sure that we're doing everything to protect the district. So, and I do want to say, Ms. Jimenez, in Sebastian City Council, we had a moment of silence. We got a new board member who wanted to bring prayer back. That was fine, but there was a Jewish member, and he was like, that's fine, but would you be happy with Allah? Would you be happy with this? And it goes on and on. So that does create, right, or whatever. Right. And then it would always be that, you know, it opened it up. So we had a moment of silence, and that allowed everybody to commune in whatever fashion. So I saw it go back the opposite way. I have no problem with the way it is, but, you know, again, new board member, we'll see what happens, and that's why it's on there, so we'll move on.
So you'll bring it on the discussion in December?
Yeah, in December. Okay. If you could put that on for me, Judy, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Ms. Dang. Okay, Mr. McCain?
I'm so sorry.
And I'm happy to send the information to the two new board members once they're sworn in on the board so that they can then be fully informed for your discussion.
Can you send me a copy of that,
please? Yes, ma'am.
Well, actually, that's public record, so do we have to wait until they're sworn in?
I just usually wait and give them everything.
Okay.
Kind of, once they're a board member, I cover them with paper.
Okay, that's fine. No, that's fine. I should pull you aside and give you 2 hours of...
Right.
Oh, my. Okay, Mr. McCain, do you have anything?
The only thing I was going to bring up is about the superintendent search. We talked about it last time. I did get with Peg. I think, Carol, didn't you? I know I sent it to you.
Yes, and I sent
it
to
everybody.
I requested it be sent to everybody.
Okay, and the only other question I had with, because I checked with Peggy, and we did have it done in our print shop. And it was a trifold brochure, just like we remember.
Yeah, she's
gathering. And I asked her to she's going to pull together the information to update it.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody, you know, if you've got any ideas on how you want that to look.
Well, you were chairman then. You're going to be chairman for this one, too?
That's
yourself out.
That can't be discussed.
Discussion. We're on the record.
We need to get it out.
Anyway, thank you very much, Mr. McCain. And
is there anything else
that
we can do before we meet with Wayne?
Yes, but I have a couple of things on mind that I'll get to.
Rock on, keep going.
No. This Simchek.
No.
You had your finger up?
Yeah, well, it was because you brought that up. I had a question, but if you're going to bring it up.
Go ahead.
So I do want to ask, because I did see a letter I think it was to you, Dr. Adams, and I'm receiving letters, people going, I want to be on the committee. Mm-hmm.
That was mine.
So... How should we handle? Please give me that direction.
All right. And that will be my first item.
Thank you.
What committee do they want to be on?
It's community input. We did not do that when we did the search with Dr. Adams. We did do it with the search for Dr. when we ended up with Dr. LaCava. And we did two sessions. And we did not do a North County, South County. We did two open sessions here, and I can't remember exactly how we handled that, but I think we did one during the day and we did one after 5 o'clock. And the board's commitment was to be there to listen to people's concerns and things that they wanted to be and make certain were there as we did the search. We did not do that, as I said, when Dr. Adams was hired. The majority of the people who showed up at that, and I can really only think of two, but that doesn't mean that there weren't more during those two sessions, were people from one of the unions. They were either CWA or they were IRCEA representatives. We did have, I think, maybe a handful of employees, district office employees. but I too have gotten inquiries, and I don't know what the, I do not know of any committee that has been formed since Dr. Norris. And there was a committee of community people. There was a committee of community people when Dr. Burns was hired, and when Mr. Norris was hired. Who am I forgetting? Who is that?
Mr. Marr. Actually, there was a community input. I remember they sent invitations out to a lot of organizations in the community when they were looking for Mr. Marr. I remember the board meeting and the large instructional.
Well, that's the only one I didn't attend.
I went to give input.
So are you talking about a specific committee that was in an input situation?
No, we're talking about two different things. Yeah, She's talking about invitations to a community, to the community at large, and to specific, you might have.
And we did that for Dr. Adams, too. I have a list.
Was it Dr. Adams?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I found my little binder, and we had a list.
Do you remember who we had who came?
I can bring the list. I don't know who came, but that was a general come here and have a conversation. But what I'm asking is, when you were talking about historically, there was a committee. Are you talking about a committee that made a recommendation?
Yes. I actually sat through the interviews, did a rating, a 1 to 5rating.
Really?
In the little portable behind what was the print shop years ago when Dr. Burns was hired.
Oh. It's a long time ago.
Long time ago. Was when Matt was still in diapers. But,
okay.
There was an actual committee. And the people on that committee were 12 or 15 people. And they were asked to rate each one and sat through all of the interviews and all of the questions by the board members during that time. I thought it was very uncomfortable because I was there as county council PTA because that was a, like I said, that's been a very, very long time ago, but as president of county council. And I felt as though there were a whole lot of people in the room who wanted to have input, and the input from them had to just be verbal, where I was one of 12 or 15 people who, as soon as the interview was over, I would hand in a paper that ranked that person who had just been interviewed by the board with a 1 to 5. And I do remember it was 1 to 5. That I do remember. But that's, I think that it's not my call.
Found on the verbal that, so there were people that were part of a committee that were actually invited to do the rating. And are you saying that while the superintendent candidates were being interviewed by the board, there were people verbally participating?
No, ma'am.
We had a little
reserved area.
Right.
We sat over there and... And I don't know why, but I think I remember being told that we weren't supposed to talk to each other when we did our rating. I think we were told that.
They were trying
to do sunshine
but
or
I'm
something.
Surprised, yeah.
Yeah, but we were told not to. This little group was told not to talk to each other, and we didn't. And
instructions.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah. I do remember that, yeah. But. No, we turned, after each one, we did a, and I remember it was just a grade. It was a 1 to 5. It wasn't categorized, and there were no, but I think opening this to the community, certainly you're going to invite certain specified groups, and if you have that list, that would be great. But I think it's also important just to get, you know, the person off the street who has something to say, the person whose grandkids are here, and, I have talked to Dr. Adams about this, and because she has gotten a couple of inquiries also, and she and I discussed it at one point. But again, I think there are a lot of things, Matt, that can be done. The brochures, all you can set.
Yeah, that's all six.
I don't think community input needs to be done to this board. It needs to be done.
That's exactly what I was going to raise my hand. I want when the new board is sitting. That's going to be. Job number one and job 1A to get that rolling as soon, and it's incumbent on us to do the things that we can do, like a brochure or some things like that beforehand. Once that board is seated and sworn in, then it's going to be that board's decision on committees and things like that. And I'm sure I will volunteer if we have maybe the first, I don't know if it's a discussion session or we're going to have a special session, whatever that 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 has. I'm going to volunteer Ms. Johnson to come back as a community member to speak to the board in terms of her knowledge of things that have been done in the past. I'm joking, but I'm just saying that information that you're
no way.
The information you're espousing
either
right now.
You get it now, or you don't get it.
No, you're not. I can call you on the phone.
We can talk.
Exactly.
We can talk.
What I'm saying is, all that information. It's not like it's because Ms. Johnson's on board. It's gone forever, and she's moving to Thailand and doesn't have a phone.
Yeah,
right. We're going to have access to all that.
And actually, there should be a record of it. I mean, if the board had to meet together to do things, there should be a record.
I mean, a lot of those, you know, talks and committees, happens. Things like that, let's focus on what we can
Matt,
do before.
So, Matt, besides the trifold, what else can we be doing?
Okay, now remember
the fast facts.
The fast facts. We had little cards with little...
That's going to be fast facts.
And it was like things like, I know they gave us, we were given a whole bunch of schlock to take over to Tampa for the FSBA meeting.
That one-page thing that somebody had here, that was difficult to deal with. We were supposed to be passing it out to people in the community and to other people we thought might know somebody who might be interested in the job. But that big piece of paper was very unwieldy, very unwieldy.
Well, we'll have a trifold.
The fast facts.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how much... I realize I'm kind of being the booger here. I mean, that might have been a whole lot of schlock for nothing, honestly. Because the word gets out that Inniroir County is looking for a superintendent. Wayne Blanton's on board, therefore the
whole... And he mails it to everybody.
Well, I think he did, the ones that he mailed...
He had the trifold.
And him mailing that out, that's fine, because Wayne's is going to be able to... Education in the state of Florida is going to know this is open. I don't know that.
But you all have confirmed for the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
We are confirmed.
Yes.
Dr. Blanton is confirmed. All of that is confirmed for the 23rd. So the 23rd is when you ask about things we can decide. You said you preferred not to talk about salary until Ms. Dr. Blanton was here. So you can decide on that. You can decide on any of the other things. What I gave you was from Dr. Deering all the way through to Dr. Adams, and that gives you the things that really are being requested for somebody to participate as a school superintendent. Dr. Adams opted out of
and
the
And a lot of what Wayne's going to do is logistics.
Right.
Need your pamphlet by here. Need the advertisement by this date. Need this, need that.
He'll do that.
Yeah.
They're going to refer them to the website.
That's exactly
People are
right.
going to get all of their information from the from the internet.
And going back to what are the things that we can do now besides the trifold and the fast facts, I wanted to propose to the board, because this, I don't feel that this is in any way an overreach. I feel that this is an educational opportunity. But as we look for a superintendent, we have to have a sense of what are some of our non-negotiables. And I think that the two new board members are going to need some kind of a workshop to understand what is going on with the Moonshot Goal and what are all the initiatives that support the Moonshot Goal. Because when we call a superintendent, we want to be on the same page as a board. Those board members may get on and decide that they don't support the Moonshot Goal. And we have to make sure that they're educated and they understand what that is. Because this district, under Dr. Adams' leadership, has created this goal, and there's a lot that is going on to support that goal's success. And we as a board are hiring someone, and we can't give that someone direction that he or she, they can be visionary, they can be innovative, but we have a community that's working with us to accomplish this goal. And it would be devastating to our educational community to do an about face or to let things go. And so everybody needs to have an understanding. I'm not saying that we're indoctrinating them. They may agree, disagree, but I think sooner rather than later, they need to understand what this Moonshot Goal is about, what we've accomplished, what supports it, so that when we are looking for a superintendent, that may or may not be the lens or part of the lens through which we look. Because I personally, when I look at this, I would be very concerned if we had someone come in, I'm going to create my legacy, and I'm going to, you know, and if we don't feel as a board cohesively that, yes, come in, create your legacy, and part of that legacy is that you reach that goal by 2018. And I'm not saying that that's the way it has to be, but I think that we need to have that conversation and with the new board and make sure that they get all the information so they can make an informed decision, because I think that is going to be crucial. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but that is one of my concerns moving forward, because we have so many initiatives. We have IRFL, we have ICANN, we have ITIPS, we have all of this stuff that's going on, and we need your leadership while you're with us to make sure that we're clear which of those pieces are crucial to the success of reaching that goal. We want to have that plan so that moving forward, you know, this person can hit the ground running and have that foundation, and the board members need to have it. And it's not just the hearsay. They need to understand the statistics and so on and so forth.
Well, they need the history.
Yeah.
Of why this is being done and why there was this commitment. And that was actually part two of what I was going to put for the superintendent search, is I would suggest that now, I mean, we know who the two board members elect are. I would suggest that now that you set a time certain with them to do two things. One is to have a workshop on just what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But the other is set that community. You don't want to wait till January to accept community input. And December and after Thanksgiving are not good times to...
Fran, how about giving us one more year and we do this on an election off year?
I know. It's when you look at it, having two new board members coming in
bad?
To do that is a,
bad,
it's a tough...
You
yeah.
can always...
one more year?
We were all in the that majority vote.
That's the board corporate. But I do think that you also
emergency item.
You want to set that community input. You're going to have your fall visitors are going to be here, your seasonal visitors,
mm-hmm.
but also your workshop. And I would suggest that you set it as soon as possible after the swearing in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Frost has already been here and met with your assistant superintendents, but there's going to be a little bit of a lag time there for Mr. Searcy. But
just around the table,
yeah.
I mean, nothing
yeah,
individual.
That should be okay. Yes, Ms. Simpson.
Am I confusing? So. One workshop for community input and for the new people to understand?
No. No.
So we're proposing a workshop for, not to be mean, but I had to bring myself up to speed. So we're proposing a workshop to spend time for us to teach our board members something that they could sit down with Dr. Adams and
Well, at some point, there's going to have to be...
I mean, I might have a discussion.
Yeah, well, and I think that's more of what it is in terms of... That's
okay.
That's where you're... Like, it isn't a workshop, this is information presenting to. What it's going to be is, okay, we're looking for a new superintendent. The board, 3 out of 5 board members, mm-hmm. is this going to be an important piece on the search criteria? Yes or no?
So that's going to be during the workshop. I mean,
Dr. Blanton will tell us what we need to do. No, Dr. Blanton's not going to say you need somebody who can do this.
Ms. Simchek,
just for clarification, maybe it was confusing, but in actuality, the Moonshot Moment folks are in the process right now of writing a report, which is a December report that brings together all the statistics. Carol doesn't know them. I don't know them. Matt doesn't know them. And I think you probably don't know them. And so this is an opportunity not only to give those board members a history, very brief, because they can read most of it if they read the papers and so on, but more so for us as a board to know what that data is, what's in that report, because their report is due in December and they're working on it. And maybe we could find a way of getting some information in a timely manner so that we can share it with the board. But there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. Like, as a board member, I really want to understand what is the connection between Moonshot and IRFL and ICANN and ITIPS and all of these initiatives? Are they all crucial? What is the feedback? Is it working? Is it not working? What are the challenges? We don't have answers to that. We hear that IRFL is happening and ICANN is happening and ITIPS is happening. We don't know what the success rate is, you know? And I think that there are a lot of things that we don't know. We just hear that we get the aerial view. So the purpose of the workshop is there's a lot we don't know that we need to educate ourselves on, and we're going to have new board members that know even less than we do. And so you're not going to sit down and hear everything you've already heard about Moonshot. You're going to hear a lot of things that you haven't heard, because they're putting their assessment together now. And, you know, I think that's where we need to get education, so we understand what our non-negotiables are. And I have no idea what that is, and I don't know what the data looks like. So I, for one, would benefit from
that. I would certainly want that information, but as I said, it just depends how we're posing this workshop. Is it a training session for two new members? Because I'm not in favor of that. I'm not. I don't see anybody took the time to train me. Here you go, and it was
right,
time
but
for
it's not
it.
About us.
But no, let me finish. If it's, we're going to have a workshop on data, and we have proposed agenda items, and that's it. It's a presentation for information. I will attend as I attend all the other ones, but I'm not having a training workshop for new members. That's the difference. That's all
Dr.
I'm saying.
So the way I'm thinking of it is you're doing a superintendent search. What are your priorities, board? What are your priorities? Here are some of the initiatives that we're doing right now. So everybody needs to know what those initiatives
That's
are.
Fine.
The Moonshot Moment, IRFL, IRTIPS, those type of things. So it's really more to bring you guys up to speed on where we are and introduce the new board members to what some of those initiatives are, because as you move forward, are those initiatives that you're going to support and say with a new superintendent that comes in, we want that person to know that we want to continue these. There will be lots of other gifts that that person can bring with them, but these are initiatives that we feel like is important to continue. So I think it's about giving the new board members background information on what some of the things are right now as far as initiatives go, and do you agree as a board that those are priorities for you as you move forward looking for a new superintendent?
And that's the appropriate place for you to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Dr.
Oh,
Adams
absolutely.
Does not need to be involved in any of the other
right.
Discussions you have, the community input, none of those things. But again, if you wanted to have something during the day where you all were available to the community and where staff could come in and talk to you about things that, you know, they wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, you need to have a bigger table than this or configured differently or whatever, where people are comfortable with coming in and sitting down and just having a little chat with you and talk about the things that they do and don't want. And, you know, but that is going to be information gathering that can be used by the new board, not by you setting priorities prior to November 18th.
So there's a couple of different things that we
need. You got me totally confused.
So one is having a workshop of sorts to let the new board members know what the current initiatives are and have been,
right?
And giving them background information. And then the other part is the input.
Correct. But the thing that you need to do is the meeting with Dr. Blanton is going to set the majority of those things that you're going to have in the brochure. The brochure can be ready to go, ready to roll out. If you get it out there, and Dr. Blanton had said before that we needed to get with the replacement for Dr. LaCava, Dr. Blanton had said we needed to get it out there if we could prior to, you know, the holiday break, because holidays come and you have a superintendent who goes, maybe it's time for me to make a move, or an assistant superintendent. Dr. Adams was an assistant superintendent. Dr. LaCava was an assistant superintendent. So those are things that you need to be looking at. But you can have that. Mm-hmm. We can have a discussion about the content with updated information, as Matt talked to Ms. Poisel about. But content and all can be ready to go before a new board is seated in November.
And I just thought of this, but if I were going to apply here, I would want to know what your current initiatives are that the board thinks are a priority.
You
know what I mean? And put some information like if it's going to be a moonshot, there's some flyers, you know, that you can put with your, you know, you can,
sure.
And ear tips and earful. But don't you think that should be on your brochure that you're going to hand out if those are board priorities? So if you are interested,
yeah,
we just want you to have a little bit of background, or no?
I mean, you can
I think that can be an interview discussion, but that's just me. I'm not going to be here.
Or
we could use the legislative piece that we're working on for the moonshot moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has all those initiatives. It has a summary of everything that's happened, and it has all the barriers. So that's it.
I thought our brochure last time should have had a picture of me playing high school football, but
we know that.
I got voted
we can
out
do it this
4-1.
Time.
Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful this time be different.
Yes, we
have an Bundy moment.
I'm
just not
shot.
Clear. So what we're saying is that we're going to wait until after November 17 to decide what the community input is going to look like. Is that what we're saying?
That was just my recommendation
okay.
to you.
All right, I
think you're going to have to.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make
that was
sure.
my recommendation
okay.
to you.
And that's why this is going to be harder than it was last time. I mean, logistically, because you've got two new board members.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we had the luxury of the search with Dr. Adams
it's
not to have two new board members
mm-hmm.
on board.
Yeah,
and it will make a big difference. And, you know, Ms. Simchick, you may have to just bite the bullet and let there be a few more things with two new board members, but you're going to have to all be hearing the same thing. So, I mean, they're going to be able to do a lot of things, but you're going to have to, the dynamics of this board, I predict, will change somewhat when you have two new players in the game. Isn't that how we play in baseball and in football? So when those players change, mm-hmm. when those substitutes are brought in, you're gonna have different dynamic than what you do now because certain things that you have set in motion, not speaking of moonshot, but other things you've done within the district and direction that you have given, you have Dr. Adams, you have the luxury of having Dr. Adams through the remainder of the school year, but some of those dynamics, Dr. Adams is going to need to sit with the board members, all five board members, and if there are any questions she has, those things need to be decided by your new board, not your old board.
And as a sitting board, we actually had to do that when we had two new board members.
Yes, we
had to sit through workshops that we may not have had to sit through when we were, you know.
The new
so
board members don't know your opinion if they're not sitting at the table with you. So, and you were ahead of the game in many ways, having served in an elected office before. That was one of your selling points with the Gov.
Well, we have one guy that's served, so I know he knows.
Yeah, but
who we are and what we're doing.
Yes, he has served, but it's been a while. So I will make certain that Dr. Blanton, and by the way, his contract will be on the 21st, okay, and we will meet with him on the 23rd. I think last time we met with him and then Mr. McCain put it on the agenda afterwards. But that's okay.
Timing. Logistics. We'll all work out.
You were making it happen. That was okay.
No.
So, but at least we can get, at least the district, I won't say we, at least the district can get moving on some of this. Okay? All right. Ms. Disney is not going to be with us. Ms. Jimenez, you had...
Yes. I have... Tonight on the agenda, we have the Greater Florida Consortium of School Boards Legislative Platform. As soon as that was emailed to me, I made sure it was emailed to each of you for review. And tonight, we basically have to do three things. We've been asked, you all got the cover letter also, so everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about, and there are no surprises. The cover letter states that this is the easy part. Once we have the platform, Jeannie Dozier from Lee County wants to organize a legislative group to do some advocacy, and she's requested a representative from the board. If any of you would like to be the representative, that's fine. If nobody wants to do it, I'm happy to continue to work in that role as your legislative liaison.
I'd like
so
to nominate Claudia Menes.
Those
in favor, signify by saying aye. 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 Any opposed? Aye's have it, Ms.
Stein. No vote.
So I think that's kind of the easiest piece. The other two pieces, when you looked at the information, there are basically five priority goals And one is around local authority, the second is funding, the third is capital outlay levy, the fourth is charter schools, and the fifth is accountability and state testing. Those are the five priority goals, and that is what we will vote on tonight, as well as any additional issues. And those are the second document, and there's quite a few of them. One of the things that it's important for us to keep in mind, and I will mention this at the board meeting, is that this consortium was formed really in a spirit of collaboration. Some of these issues, if you look at some of the additional issues, for example, the issues around the Value Adjustment Board, that is not something that necessarily impacts Indian River County, but it impacts other school districts. And one of the strengths of the consortium is that we advocate together, all 11 districts, as long as it does not negatively affect any of the districts. In the event that there is an item here that a board corporate does not want to see on the agenda, it will drop away because we need to be a united front. So tonight when we vote, we will have our vote, and it doesn't have to be unanimous, but if the majority of the board votes to support the legislative program and to support the additional issues without anything being removed, that is what I will send to the consortium. If any item is removed by a majority vote, then I will send that to the consortium, and that automatically drops away for everybody. Because again, we do this to support each other, and we understand that we don't always see eye to eye, and that's fine because that's what it's about. But you know, that's the commitment we made to each other, that if a board collectively does not support any items, they move away. So tonight, whatever the results of the vote are, I will immediately, tomorrow morning, I will email them so they know what we voted in and if any changes, if anything needs to be dropped. So I just wanted to make sure everybody was clear, and if anybody has any questions.
So, and I've been calling Karen Brill for 2 days, no answer, but that's just timing probably. I am unclear, even though I read the whole thing, and I don't have a copy, I don't know, but there's issues, then there's an additional issue, so it will be two separate votes, because I feel it should be, because it's two separate documents. That's my first thing. And there's several things that are different on the second document. You know, everything's different on the second document. So, just for clarity and transparency, I just don't think that it's right to have a cover letter and a document in full, and then to have additional issues.
No, that's exactly what the cover letter explains.
So no, I understand, but what I'm saying is it's not a continual.
It's not intended to be.
I know.
It's not intended to be. That's the way the group works. That's okay. Their process, and that's why I included the cover letter.
No,
so
I know.
There is 100% transparency. Now, if you would like, you can absolutely make a motion.
Well,
an amended
no, I know
motion.
How I'm going to make a motion. If I make a motion, I'm just saying that for clarity. It was, when you were speaking, you said there was additional issues, there's this, and then there's additional. There's two separate, and I'll just make those comments and discussions tonight.
Right, but just for the record, I would like you to make sure you emphasize that there was a cover letter and it was transparent. I have a concern when the comment continues to be made that there's lack of transparency. That really concerns me tremendously.
And you can comment on my comments, but you can't tell me what to say, Ms. Hammond.
I'm not telling you what to say, but I wish you would say what occurs and not misinformation, because that's just not a healthy thing to do.
Well, one of the things that I think is very good about this organization is the fact that they want to take the things we can all agree on and move forward. That's why if one district, if just one out of that 11 says, I do not like item number 4, the district has voted against that, it comes out of that platform. But because there's a platform set, and this could be part of the question that you have, there's a platform set, and it is very well defined in that document. But then there are also additional concerns. But if any of those additional concerns, if the board corporate feels as though any of those needs to be taken out, it will come out of the document that is sent completely taken out, which I like.
Yeah.
I think that shows that there's some give and take with the consortium, and I think it is all about everybody being on the same page and having strength of, well, instead of going to Tallahassee and talking about, you know, this is the consortium's platform, but Indian River County really doesn't agree with the issue of X.
Can I add? And
sure.
That's why, and I guess that's the problem, that you, because it's like non-cafeteria style. So you're absolutely right. Motions have to be made to make it cafeteria style. That's what I don't like about these things, because they're so blanket. It's a thumbs up or thumbs down unless you do make
no.
it.
No.
I'm saying that's why you have to make
the
a motion.
The letter explained to
it. Yes. And the other thing is, maybe you can explain, because you've attended the meetings, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to me why they want to not expand any John McKay grant money?
What has happened with that expansion is that they changed the limits for poverty. So before, the focus was on kids living in poverty, and they're slowly chipping away at making it a free-for-all. And unfortunately, I don't know about you guys, but when I get phone calls, because I have gotten numerous phone calls and emails from families that take advantage of this, what I hear from parents is, I want my child to get a good religious education, and I am so happy that they're getting a religious education, and I don't want my children to be with those kids. And personally, as an elected official, my belief is that education is for all children, and I have a hard time supporting using public dollars to segregate our children and to fund private religious schools. It's a personal thing,
mm-hmm.
without accountability. Now, you may believe that taxpayer dollars absolutely should fund public education. That's your call, and I respect it. You may each believe that they don't need to be held accountable, like public schools are. That's your prerogative, okay? And so, collectively, the PTA, the NAACP, and FSBA are opposed to these, because not only are they changing the intent and allowing public dollars to go without accountability, because for all of the wonderful stories we hear of all the lives that are touched, I talk to different school districts who say, you know, we had a situation where the kid went, took the money, didn't work for them, no accountability, they keep the money, we get the kid. And we have to fix what they were not able to do. So there's always two sides to the issue. And if there is accountability, then it's a non-issue because everyone's being held accountable. But that's not happening. The second thing with this entire situation is that we like to make it about the children. We use children as pawns often when these things come because they touch our hearts. But when you look at what happened legislatively, this voucher bill failed, and at the last minute they tagged it on to another bill so that it would pass. So the process was not followed and it was not fully vetted, and that is unfortunate. It's not that people don't want those 70,000 children to get the services they need. It's that when you have a system in place and you say you live in a democracy and you manipulate the system because your bill was failing, even Senator Negro, when I went to Tallahassee and I talked to him about this bill, he said, I can't support this without accountability. A lot of people that would have supported it said no, and they figured out how they can manipulate the system. That is what the lawsuit is about. It's convenient to make it about the children and to pit people against you like children and you don't. But it's a deeper, more complex story. And I think that's where people don't want to hear that story. People, you know, and everybody will hear it based on their lens. And I think our job is to get the information, and each person advocates from whatever stance they hold near and dear to them. And from what I've research and what I've heard, that's why they're doing it. And it bears to be emphasized that even when we were together, there were people in the group that were opposed to what FSBA did and to the lawsuit and all that stuff. But you know what? We work as what the majority supports. And what happens, and that's the beauty of these types of groups, when you have groups that have topics that fall away, they identify, okay, this person supports it, this person supports it, and I support it, so we're going to get together. The whole group may not lobby on it, but you figure out who in the room supports your issue, and then you guys come together.
But
and
you do it
forward.
Outside of this.
We do it. This
yes.
is only the commonality.
That's right. You do it. That's what I'm saying. You have the right to do it outside of this.
Absolutely.
Yet you have strength mm-hmm. in numbers, by sheer numbers. And I forget, maybe you don't know off the top of your head, but how many students this consortium represents. But
we at least 50%.
I was going to say.
It's
Miami. I was
going to
say 50, so that must be it.
It's at least 50. Right. I don't have the number, but it's at least 50%.
Right. And as I said, I was just not from your personal opinion, whether it's the same as mine or different. I was more concerned, since you attended the meeting, what was their reasoning and philosophy, especially if you had one child of someone who has a family that has somebody participating in the McKay Fund, and now child two comes along and needs it, but that expansion is no longer there. Even though the law says it's there, this group is going to lobby against that. And I just was trying to understand, not your personal opinion, but what you had heard as a group. What was the philosophy around that greater consortium of 11?
We didn't get into those specifics about if you have one child and you have a second child. It was the general gist was around accountability, mm-hmm. and it was basically
so nothing specific on the McKay.
No,
it was my original question.
No.
Yeah.
And the McKay is for a child that has a disability.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's different from poverty and things like that. And that's my issue.
Yeah. Well, it says further expansion, I think, is the language.
I don't think
I'm not sure what that means. That's what I wonder.
It is. It's on there. It's in the additional issues. And that's my concern. That's why, like I said, you know, I understand. We know who feels what about the voucher program, but they included the John McKay grant that they're not there, you know, and that concerned me as well. You know, I mean, I know how I feel about the other thing, I know how you feel, and it's fine.
Yeah.
And as a board corporate, we move forward on those issues with the FSBA and with your, you know, the whatever legislative work we're going to do. I get that. But that's why I asked specifically about the McKay, because that concerns me. That's a whole other ball of wax, and I was hoping that you could bring back some information. And that's why I've been calling Ms.
I'm going to see if I can get a little bit more information, because on the McKay scholarship, I know of no cap, I know of something, you know, further expansion, I'm not sure.
I just didn't know what that meant, and I've been calling Karen Grill for a couple of days just to get a clarification, hoping that I could just get that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, and before we move on,
yes, ma'am.
I wanted to share this with you. You can each take one.
Oh, I saw it. You sent this to us too, right?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't think I requested that it be printed, but
I think take it for this one just in case you didn't.
Okay.
Dr. Adams? Oh, you
have
one.
I have one. Thank you.
And I just wanted to just quickly draw to your attention. I don't know if the document camera is ready, but if you can, let's look at this one, because this one is numbered, the Florida School Finance Council Budget Priorities and Recommendations. Mm-hmm. This was just, I thought, a quick informational piece for the board. I know you've heard a lot of this stuff already, but if you look at number two, that just shows you
page
the trend. Page two, that graph shows us the trend in funding. And a lot of times people come back and say, look, the trend is going up. Why are you guys still complaining that we're not giving you enough money? But if you look to 2007, 2008, we haven't even reached that. And even if we reach 2008, you'll see later on, inflation has been 15%. So we haven't even caught up with inflation, and we've had at least 80,000 kids enter the system, more than that. And so, you know, this is just a great visualization of that funding piece. On page three, you see the information on inflation at the bottom of the page, which I just thought these images would be a great recap for why we need to do this legislative advocacy. And then on page four, you see where Florida stands relative to the country and to the national average in terms of funding for students. So this document was put together by the Florida School Finance Council, and they are the advisory committee to the commissioner. So their number one recommendation is to fund the education of our students adequately. This second piece, and I wish Disney Brombach was here, because this is the issue that she has been talking about so much, and these two pages help me really understand what on earth has been happening with that. If you look at page 5, at the top, in 1996, we had 15 different categories for funding ESE. Later on, in 2000, then you look at 1997, 1998, the legislator took it down to 5. And then later on, if you look at page 6, in 2000, 2001, it went down to 2. And if you look at that diagram, look at the decrease, -13%, -25%. And the graph below shows you what's been happening to our exceptional student funding. And the biggest concern is we're seeing an increase in demand, and that funding has gone down. So in our legislative platform, when we say reinstate those factors, we're saying, can you at least go back to the 5 factors, not to the 15, that really take into account the diversity of needs that our ESE students have.
And then, could I just point out one thing on the bottom of page 5, you know, where you see 251, 252, mm-hmm. Charter schools continue to get funded in ESE using that matrix.
No, I'm sorry. I'll wait for you done it.
I'm done. I mean, I have one more, but this is ESE.
Yeah, it was ESE.
Okay.
I got a letter, and I'm not sure if everybody else got it, from mm-hmm. the charter school mm-hmm. regarding... Okay. And talked to the attorney about this, too, and this is from the IDEA grant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a flat rate. It depends on how many students they have. So mm-hmm. it was directed to Dr. Farentino, but mm-hmm. Could you make sure that the board is aware of how you followed up on that?
Mm-hmm.
And what, because it's not just they have, 20 ESE students and they get a flat, 5% or 12%. It would be based on their needs and how many students they have.
Yeah.
So whatever reply is sent to the charter, can you just make sure we have a copy?
It's something that's been in discussion for a very long time. It's not new information. But I'll be glad to kind of fill you in on the background and then anything mm-hmm. that goes to them. But this is kind of a long discussion.
And did you get, I just got it within the last few days.
Yes.
A letter to, okay. Then we're talking about
yes.
the same letter.
Yes, yes,
okay,
we're talking about the same thing.
So you need to respond, share with all of us.
Absolutely. And actually, I don't know what we'll go back in writing, because they have a charter school group that meets monthly. Okay, that was on the last month. And so let me give you a thumbnail. IDEA grants come into the school district. They are not dispersed to schools. Okay, what happens is we provide services to schools based on the students that they have in the school, the severity of the issues. Mm-hmm. So, whether it's a school psychologist or a resource specialists for ESE, but it's all students with disability. So we provide the services to the charter school. Okay, we provide services to our schools. We don't provide the dollars because, and we've said this to charter schools many times, and I think everybody agrees with it, except the charter high, is that you will get dollars, but you will not get the same level of services that you receive right now. Okay, so we provide services to the charter schools at the same level that we provide to our own schools, but giving the charter school, who does not have many ESE students, their dollars in hand is not going to
pay
for the services. So we do the same for them as we do for everybody else.
The diversity of services, I think, is what you're trying to say, because you cannot just have an ESE teacher.
No. This is about the services your school psychologist, like your student support specialist.
Just like in our schools, the needs are going to be different in each and every school because of the diversity of the
based
needs.
Based on your
yes.
ESE
So they're not going to get the bang for their buck. They seem to, I mean, it would be revenue for them, but they're not going to be able to get the service.
So we've held on to that for a very long time, that we're providing services just like we do with our schools. We're doing it the same for everybody. I just said to somebody the other day, this will continue to be something that will be discussed, and maybe in time the state is going to tell us you have to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay? But we are providing services at the same level in which we provide to all schools. So to, you know.
Okay.
I don't know whether that helps.
No,
it's complex, but, you know, it is something that has...
You're going to get with Ms. Simchek.
Yeah, so it has had a lot of discussion. And actually, we can even have a conversation with Dr. Ferrantino about it, just to give you some background information.
And then there's just one final slide on page 11 of that document. This is about the quarter mill capital outlay taxing authority for local school boards. I just thought this was a great illustration of why we need this. When you look at the needs for the state, look at the billions you bring in for the 1.5 mil. Look at what it actually costs for existing debt service, maintenance, buses, and technology. And then with even if they brought it up to 2 mil, it still is not enough for all of the needs, for all of the different school districts. So I just thought, you know, we talk about this, but these graphs just kind of help me understand it better, and I thought, you know, you guys might appreciate it. But all of this is explained here, and this is what was shared at the consortium meeting. So I just wanted to make sure each of you,
thank you,
had a copy of it.
It's a good thing to keep in your pocket because it's got all the graphs on it.
Thank you. Ms. Demchik, additional item?
Nope.
Ms. McCain?
No.
I don't really have anything else for this.
Okay.
Can't think of anything else I have for this. So, Ms. Jimenez.
Yes, I wanted to ask why the item was deleted. There was a deletion from the agenda. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, and that was on the API contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think in further review, I think Mrs. DeGresta felt that there were some additional pieces on the contract that she had concerns about, and I just don't think she got in time to do the full vetting of the contract, so we're going to put it on next time.
Great, thank you.
Dr. Adams, you had some things, do you?
I do.
If nobody minds, let's...
They're light.
Okay.
Okay.
Light.
Not touching. First of all, I would like everybody to put on their calendar November 4th from 4:30 to 5:30. We're going to host a reception for Mrs. Johnson and Mrs. Disney.
Is that Tuesday?
That's on the Tuesday of the board meeting. Okay.
Done.
Beer and wine.
Where's it going to be?
Your house. Yes, no, we could have it at your house, right?
Yeah, we could do it at my house. It would be a whole lot more fun. Or can we not do anything like that?
Then you have to come back for a board meeting.
Awesome.
So you can do whatever you want.
The only thing
you
have
to
remember from board is advertising. All five board members will be there.
November 4th?
I don't have to let
November
anybody
4th.
Else do it.
At what time?
4:30.
Yeah.
Punching cookies.
We could do it on a Saturday and watch college football.
Ooh.
In the barn.
There you go.
It would be just the same thing as we did for Dr. LaCava at my house and Dr. Adams at
Matt's.
Yeah.
Three TVs in the barn now. A satellite dish.
Cool. I do it at my house. I don't have any.
And you have a new kitchen.
And
you have a new kitchen.
4:30. All right. And I do have a suggestion. And again, this is to try and keep things like the moonshot moment alive, because it is not about just schools. It's about community. It's about of the community galvanizing around the thought of getting kids ready to read. There is a community literacy leaders committee that meets monthly, and it is made up of
Claudia
goes on the Connected for Kids,
right.
Representative.
Okay.
United Way is at the table.
Yes, I know that.
Community Foundation, McCabe Foundation. There's just a wide variety of people that sit at the table. And I have, I wanted to ask the board if they would consider having a standing board have a community literacy leaders committee as a standing board committee. You know, when you go to your reorganization, how you have your list of committees and a board member agrees to serve on that committee for that year. How would you feel about having that as a standing board committee?
So rather than them coming to the community,
they would be a member of the community literacy leaders committee.
I like
but it's
that.
More formalized.
You don't have to do it.
That's right.
What you're saying is you want them to be a liaison. It's not going to be a committee like the old
audit committee.
Audit committee.
No.
Old or the current.
A liaison from the board to this group.
Okay, so a liaison. Okay.
And then that would be, again, with all these committees like the greater consortium and
yes,
the
MPO,
all of this is for November.
Yeah. Do you think that the community committee would be receptive to that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Oh, yes.
That's somebody else's territory.
Yeah.
Unlike the county commission, I don't like to hold that over anybody.
So how would we do that, Suzanne, if the board is willing?
Add it to your list for
November. Add it to
18.
The list. Okay. All right.
All right, Ms. Gallo, we need to add that to the list of committees for board members. And you and I have a couple of corrections we need to make to that list, if we could, please.
And
if
then...
you'll remind me, please.
Go ahead.
And can you send that list prior?
Oh, that's
to
yeah, you do
November 18th, please.
Yeah. You usually get it with a, if you want any changes or whatever, to let the board chairman know. And if you will let me know, I will make sure certain that there is a list for Ms. Stang. If you'll let Ms. Stang know. Ms. Stang will have a, if you don't want to be on the planning and zoning for Bellsbury anymore, just let her know.
Okay. And the second one is everybody is into kind of reinventing themselves in terms of there's been a lot of reorganization happening within. You know, people are retiring and the job has changed. The last one I brought to you was the building. It was called the building. What was it called? The building
department.
The building department,
yes.
And it was changed to the Department of Building Standards and Code Compliance. Okay. So. Rick Chuma's area. Rick is in charge of purchasing in the warehouse, and we've always called it the warehouse. Well, actually, we don't warehouse things anymore. It's kind of a distribution center, if you will. So things come in and things go out. So to help employees and the community better understand what they do, he is asking if they could be purchasing and central distribution department. So, again, it's kind of redefining how they do business, and so they are asking for that consideration. As well, adult education. Adult has always been adult community ed, all right? If you know what adult education is doing now, they're doing a lot of technical work. They do, they do nursing, they do medical billing, they do... digital design. They just have a lot of different classes. So what they would like us to consider is to renaming them the Technical Center for Career and Adult Education. And I had mentioned this to Mrs. Johnson earlier, and one of the things that our community never thinks that we have is any kind of career in vo-tech. So this kind of lends itself to the kind of work that they're doing now, which is technical Center for Career and Adult Education.
And I mentioned to Dr. Adams that sometimes there has been a little bit of a stigma by people who look at that adult education. They just kind of have this perception, and I think that needs to be overcome. And that certainly, if we emphasize the positive on that, being what is being offered as opposed to it being educating adults. I think that has a different it's perception. It's all about perception.
So I appreciate they're trying to update themselves because they are, in many cases, reorganizing themselves within those departments. So what I would like to do is, this is about the fourth one, is to send you a new organizational chart that has the names, not of the people, but the names of the instead of purchasing, it's going to
and
be
the only
purchasing.
Thing that will change on that will be the name.
It will be
in the organizational chart that we've already approved.
There are no lines moving anywhere. Okay. It's just
so it's a historical paper trail.
Yes, yes. And then there's one more thing. Debbie Dillon, principal at Rosewood Magnet, is retiring in December. Okay. There were some fifth graders that came to the SAC and asked if they would consider naming the new road parent pickup loop coming in Dillon Drive. And so the SAC took it under advisement, and they would like to bring that forward to the board, and they are willing to pay for the sign. It's about $400 to name the street, you know, and so they would like to bring that forward to the board. And we did.
Matt McCain wants it named McCain Road.
I spent a lot of time in that field.
McCain Lane.
McCain, McCain Field. Literally.
Give me a speed bump then.
That's more apropos.
A little sign like that being right beside it.
We'll be right over you every day.
Exactly.
That's right.
But we already have precedent because we did that for Duke, for Mark Duke Dugan
Drive
up at.
Yeah. So for this one, we would bring that forward to the board, okay? And
we get that on the next agenda so they can move forward.
Okay. So those are the things I wanted to bring before the board.
That is sweet.
And that's sweet. And what they said is that the boys led a presentation of Mrs. Dillon's career achievements and highlighted her commitment to the traditions of Rosewood Magnet Schools and the future of all her students.
And so her first thing in retirement is, and she's probably going to talk to Mr. McCain and some others, is she's going to do a history of Rosewood Elementary.
Oh, nice.
I'm making some notes now.
And Alma Lee Loy has some historical things that Miss Dillon doesn't have, so I've gotten the two of them together.
Oh, nice.
Which will be very, very nice.
Yeah.
So, back from the early, early, early days.
I'll tell a story about when I got in trouble when I was monitor one time. On safety
you
patrol.
Get in trouble?
Safety patrol and in trouble?
Please.
Soon as I'll tell you the story as soon as the thing's off.
Well, we need to do board committee reports first, if we could. I'm sorry. I apologize. Does anybody else have anything else to bring?
I just have a question.
Sure.
Is the board interested on putting the equity report on the website underneath the DSEG order where we
Absolutely.
Have all the information for board
Absolutely.
Members? If we can request that that be done.
Could we also use the website and have some sort of a port on there to go for community input for the new superintendent?
Mm.
Board members?
What'd you say?
Who's going to monitor? Whoever's board chairman. Well, Miss Dane could download those
for that.
In
my office too.
Could download those and make them available. I mean, it's just a thought. I'd rather it was there than on Twitter.
Yeah. So I would still suggest that you frame it to what kind of things are you looking for? You know, just a little bit of parameters.
Not sure
rather
size.
Than just throw it out. You know. Okay.
We're being recorded, if you don't mind.
Okay.
She needs a little sip of water. Okay. Miss Disney isn't here. Board reports, Miss Jimenez.
Oh, my God. I gave you all my stuff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be long, and I can see all the eyes rolling in the distance. But I didn't have to see them when you got the email. Okay? And I don't think they got a copy.
Everybody got a copy. Oh, you have.
Okay. I'm not going to read through all of them. Today there was a hunger and poverty symposium, and there was an amazing presentation, and it just fit in so well with what's happening with the Moonshot Goal and education with kids on toxic stress and the way it affects the development of children. And there was an amazing image of two MRIs side by side, and you can actually see the decrease in size of the brain of a child that is raised with toxic stress. And the question was, you know, is it genetic? And it's not so much that there's a genetic component, But prenatally, and once the child is born, when they are submitted to a lot of stresses, lack of food, fear, and so on and so forth, it affects the development of the brain. So that was, it was very, very powerful. It was well attended, and it was hosted at Indian River State College this morning. I wrote a brief summary of the Shack highlights, and I just was really happy. If you look at number 2, there are 8 components to coordinated health, and this is the first time in years. I mean, I've been on this committee since before I was on the school board when my kids were little, and this is the first time they actually have all these representatives, and they added a school district representative and a parent representative, and the health department talked about their obesity initiative, which is being piloted by maybe one of our schools. I don't think they've decided yet, but I went on their website and wrote down their little logo, 5210, mm-hmm. 5 or more servings of fruits and so on. Easy, but it would be really nice if we could get our community on board with that. There was one question, and maybe Dr. Adams can tackle that after my report. There was a lot of conversations about that people didn't have clarity on whether or not students were allowed to bring water bottles to school if hydration was not of their care plan. So we'll leave that to the end. But that was, and people were starting to make comments, and I said, why don't we find out first before everybody starts making their comments? So I promised that we'd get some information to them. I went to the Juvenile Justice Council meeting. The big conversation there was gratitude that some of our retailers did the civil citation training, because that's really important for our kids that have to go through the juvenile system. And there's going to be a speaker at tomorrow's meeting on Amendment 2, and there's some information about some loopholes that they see and the concerns around this. So if anybody's interested, that would be an interesting meeting. They meet at noon at the courthouse offices. Connected for Kids has their directories ready,
good.
And I brought each of you a copy. I don't have it.
They're bigger. Bigger.
You're giving them out.
We're really excited, and then I also, yes, and we need to talk about that. And then I had Peggy send all of you the results of the survey we did on youth and what they do after school, and we wrote a little narrative, so I'll just let you look at that at your leisure. IRFL was amazing on September 24th. I was really happy to see that engagement of the interviews with students and trying to understand where kids are coming from and how teachers can support them. And then to me, the highlight, I couldn't stay for the whole thing, but I was so glad to see that those school improvement plans are finally being used as a tool and not just as a compliance piece. So that is awesome. I attended the Community Health Improvement Plan priority number 2 meeting, which is the prevention of HIV/AIDS and teen pregnancy, and basically what they're doing at this point is doing a survey to find out what services are in the community right now to address these 2 issues. And then that's pretty much it. So it's been busy, but it's been fun.
Can I follow up on a couple of things?
Oh, sure.
One is the water. Mm-hmm. I think it pertains to one school, but I have a principal's meeting on Thursday.
Okay. Oh,
so we'll bring it up there. Second is on the at the IRFL. Now those that attended must go out and interview students, so they're getting feedback on their own school and how students are feeling. So I think that's powerful. The school improvement plan, you know, the state changed it, and they really, really have made it a dynamic document that should be used throughout the year to measure where you are in terms of the goals, strategic goals that you've set, how to set the goals. It shows a picture of your school and how they performed, and it's got it divided into quadrants. It's a very, very useful tool. And so I know they're going to continue to talk about that as the year goes on. And actually, we're having our first ICANN with the principals this week, which they have to do a 20-minute presentation to the executive team on how they went through the 8-step process, what their goals ended up to be, how they're going to monitor them. So every principal comes in and presents to us. So that's kind of a follow-up on those pieces.
Ms. Simchin.
Sebastian, Planning and Zoning, had Captain Harrington in just
piece of information, they're putting in a two-story, 16-room. It has nothing to do with the school district because their nearest school is nowhere near that. But they're moving forward with that with some conditional issues. And, although it was interesting, it had nothing to do with the school district. So that's where we'll land.
Okay. Mr. McCain.
The only thing worth noting that has anything to do with schools is the VB planning and zoning spent a couple of meetings talking about trying to get some preliminary kind of frameworks on their what's going to be their policy if that amendment to the Constitution passes for medical marijuana.
Oh.
They wanted to have something in place because if somebody comes to the city wanting to open up a be a provider, and schools is part of it. They asked me. They saw me sitting in the audience, and one of them asked me, "Has the school board discussed it or whatever?"
Mm-hmm.
Not. But they have talked about not one of their guidelines is going to be not within so much of the school. So.
Right.
Yes, I am concerned though. This would be if it passes and later down the road. But what would be, I guess it would be like any drug that needs to be administered at school, there would have to be, within their care plan and cleared with the nurse. I'm talking about for school district issues. If a child, because they have been given an inoperable tumor, and they have to take medical marijuana in the form of liquid drops, and they have to go to the school nurse to be administered, whether it's that or a narcotic, obviously we have something in place.
Oh, yes.
So that's going to be interesting.
I think it has a pretty good chance of passing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one would hope that the county is also going to put some restrictions how close these can be to a school. And I mean, that is paramount to some of the stuff we're talking about.
I don't know if anybody saw in the local paper there was some kind of a meeting where they were talking precisely about that.
Oh, no, I don't take the picture.
What meeting was that, Matt?
Maybe. Planning
and zoning.
Planning and zoning.
It hasn't come up before.
In the BB city limits. And this was in, I don't get the paper anymore after.
You just don't.
I just don't.
I tried, but then I...
But apparently it was advertised pretty heavy in the paper, and they were expecting a big turnout. And they is that thing still on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, one lady got to speak straight out of a Cheech and Chong movie. She couldn't keep a coherent sentence going. Uh-huh. It was hilarious. It was just
modeling what's going to happen.
It was awesome.
Yes, probably.
It was so awesome. Usually those meetings are so boring. This one was kind of entertaining.
You really are glad you went to that one, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Good for you.
It was hilarious.
Anything else, Mr. McCain? Any other words of wisdom for us? I have an update for you, and I haven't really been boring you with the intricacies of the United Way's new initiatives, and they actually have three initiatives now. They've gone from all of their pillars. I think they had eight pillars as far as community service and agency service, and they have gone to three initiatives. I call it a three-legged stool. I kind of get the frown when I say that, but I think it is a three-legged stool. It is. Hey, I'm still going to do it. It's education. This year we'll be discussing education. Next year they will be discussing health, and then in year three years out, they're going to be discussing community financial stability. Mm-hmm. And it's not for United Way. It is community financial stability. They're starting with education, and as of next Wednesday, we will have had 11 meetings. We have been meeting every single Wednesday, and we've actually had two meetings every Wednesday. One was at 3 o'clock with the member agencies as an advisory group, and then we... met at 4 o'clock with the vision group, and the vision group is made up of people within the community, some community leaders, etc. But I want to I've already sent a couple notes of thank you to people who in our district who have participated and I did ask Dr. Adams, people like Alice Blanco and Ruth Shaw and Kim McCorris, and I did ask her if, you know, if they had time, if it was all right to just throw that out, not as a chairman, but coming from the United Way. And they have been wonderful. Kim McCorris has been an unbelievable resource for us, as has Brian
McMahon.
She's
retiring, too.
I know.
In May.
I know. As has Brian McMahon. Brian McMahon has just come into so many things with joining our district office group, and he has provided wonderful statistical information. Robin Daff has been there, Cynthia Filardo, Cammie Wainwright from the Old Dollars for Scholars, which is now the community scholarship group. It has been it's been a wonderful collaboration. I am very excited because on the 15th we're going to be finalizing the educational component. I did ask Dr. Adams if she would take a look at the rough draft, and I should have the rough draft tomorrow that I can share with her because I want her to understand this. But I will tell you that not one single meeting that we have had where someone within the group, and it hasn't always been the same person, someone within our group has not mentioned the moonshot moment and how we need to be looking as a community at the moonshot moment and how we need to be looking as an agency, our agencies, at the moonshot moment. It's going to be a big surprise for some of our agencies within the United Way because it is not going to be reactive. In other words, you are not going to take what you do every single day and take it and say, well, this will work for this particular goal of the education initiative. We're going to lay out the initiatives, and you might have something or you might not have something. We already know that there are going to be agencies that will have a two-year transition. They will be transitioned out over a two-year period. We're not going to just throw somebody out. But we are going to be very focused on those dollars and where those dollars are going. And more importantly, the accountabilities are the transparency, yes, but the accountabilities for those dollars are going to be much, much more stringent than they have ever been with the United Way. So I am extremely excited about that. We have had a little bit of bleed over, as would be imagined, between education and health won't come up until next year. We have all these things that we keep talking about. Where does it go? And that's one of the things this group is doing. Does it stay in education? Does it go over here to health? And a lot of that deals with the prenatal to secondary education. So we're funneling things down. But I'm very excited about what's going to be there because I think it's going to certainly be a nice complement to the school district. So I won't be here, but I'm not going away as far as education is concerned. So, but I did want to thank you again, Dr. Adams, because that has been, you know, we see it all the time with Tallahassee, that they sit and make these rules up and they pass legislation and then we have to deal with it. I think this was done right because it's talking to the people who are actually on the front lines and then also having that community component has been, I think it's been very, very good for us. So that's the only report I have.
You know, speaking about the legislators, you know, we're all talking about the same thing on legislative platforms, and that is what we're facing. And Pam Stewart came to the superintendent's meeting, and basically it's board members don't have the power, the Department of Education doesn't have the power, but we must talk with our legislators. So, and actually I just thought of this today, but, you know, there's this common theme right now, so I'm wondering when we meet with our legislators, why can't we do it as an integrated group of board members, community members, and union and things like that, because we're all saying the same thing, but if we could say it more as a force than everybody kind of doing it their own way.
And if you remember last year, we did not have the meeting with our legislators because for 2 years in a row, the only one who was there was Debbie Mayfield.
Yeah.
And it was all coordinated through her office.
Yeah.
And then we had the aides from everybody else except for Representative Mayfield.
And so Joan Edgar came one time. How long ago was that?
At least 3 years.
Oh.
You know, and along those lines, I just wondered if we couldn't partner with, you know, the county commission has them all. When the county commission invites them, they all show up. And so maybe if we could work with them and we can work with them, or we can show up and speak to them during community input.
I agree.
And just rally the troops.
I
because
agree.
It's like we're trying to duplicate effort, and we don't have the clout for them to show up.
Yeah.
But these guys do. So we go there, we're organized, and we bring our community partners, and we use the citizen input the way it should be used.
And they let you talk as much as
you
want.
With us. So. I mean, we're all saying the same thing.
Unlike the school board, they let you talk as long as you want.
That's right.
I'll remind
take advantage of that.
Mr. McCain is not here, but when he gets back, I'll mention it to him again. Please, if you are available at all next week, we're going to try and nail down a time frame for the impact fee that's going to be on the agenda for the county commission next week. We have got to have some faces
next
in
Tuesday.
The audience. I'm going to be there for the whole day. I told Dr. Adams she's going to have Mr.
Carter's.
Morrison and Mr. Sanders there, but you have to remember, last time they didn't want to talk to Mr. Morrison and Mr. Sanders. They wanted to talk to somebody from the board. And then we set up the workshop. So I think it's really important that we be there. I'm not saying we all sit together and have this united force. But we all need to be in the audience. We all need to be willing to, at some point, come up. And I'm going to be there for the entire duration until they do get to impact fees. Because if you've ever been to any of the meetings, they occasionally will slip something in underneath another, and they'll make remarks under another item. Mr. McCain, if you remember correctly, we are committed to next Tuesday, the impact fee final workshop and adoption at the county commission. We're going to get a time, Mr. Morrison.
We have to go?
That's the 14th.
Yeah, I will.
It's the 14th.
Okay. All right.
I will
as well. If you can.
I'll
be there. This is important. This is 5 years.
It is.
We have to live with whatever this decision is for 5 years.
Important.
We were very fortunate that
very
Mr.
Important.
Davis and Mr. O'Brien and Chairman O'Brien both made very positive comments. But, you know, we only had four commissioners there that night or that day. So we have to make certain that, you know, silence is not what we want to do. And Mr. Morrison and Mr. Sanders can carry the message for us, but it does not carry the same message as a constitutional officer to a constitutional officer. So, and I definitely will make a comment that Mrs. Jimenez is not here, but she wanted to.
The agenda will come out.
The agenda's out.
Oh.
You should have gotten actually two things from Ms. Stang today. Because I panicked, and I really jumped on Judy. I apologize to Judy. Because the way it came out, it sounded like they were doing it today. But and she just copied what was there, but the top part of it said that it was noticed for the 14th, which wasn't. You had to open the entire document to get that, which I did not do. So that was my bad. Okay. So, Dr. Adams, you will have Mr. Morrison try and find out from Mr. Bowling about what time, so that we can let board members know.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I wanted to make, Judy had a well-deserved vacation, and Peggy and Ravi were the two that were responsible for putting the board agenda.
And they did. I was going to say something tonight.
And, yeah. I mean, you'll see that there were some amendments that came in, but it wasn't an easy job, Judy. So Peggy learned a lot. So she's glad you're back. But she did a great job.
Judy's on a damn tour.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask you is, do you want to go into a meeting now if I can get everybody together?
Yes, if we can. All right. Ms. Stang, you want to come down and turn this off, please?
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
I'm
going
to need a code for this. That big old Buell Farmer John lunch.
Did you?